You're listening to episode 14 of the Sustainable Minimalist Podcast.
You are listening to the Sustainable Minimalist Podcast, a show about living simply and sustainably with your family. Here's your host, Stephanie Safarian.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Sustainable Minimalists Podcast. Now, before we get started today, just a quick apology. If I sound gruffer than usual, if my voice sounds a little bit scratchy, that's because I've been battling a cold for days now, and I've been putting off recording this episode. But if I don't do it today, it's not going to be out on time. So apologies for my scratchy voice. I hope to be back to my more chipper self next week. Today, we are talking about some big issues. We're talking about what sustainable minimalism looks like at the supermarket. Now, if you've analyzed the contents of your trash can lately, I'm willing to bet, I'd actually put money on it, that the majority of the trash from your household starts and ends in the kitchen. And if you trace it back a little bit further, that means that it all starts at the supermarket. So we're tackling some really big themes today. We're talking about food waste. We're talking about spending habits around food. We're talking about trash production. Believe it or not, all these seemingly random topics are interconnected, and I'm going to connect them for you. Now, as a minimalist, I generally believe in buying less. But when it comes to feeding my family, I'm torn, and maybe you are too. Because on one hand, I believe wholeheartedly in the importance of purchasing quality food. I'd prefer to spend more money on things that go into our bodies as opposed to the decorations that we put on it. Now, how silly is this? In general, Americans think nothing of dropping $400 on a designer handbag, but Americans generally scrimp and whine about prices at the supermarket. So we save and we coupon and we see just how low we can get our grocery bill. I find this to be incredibly ironic. And as a minimalist, I believe that if there is one single place to ditch my minimalist principles, it's at the supermarket. Now, I used to believe that every family should purchase the healthiest, which is sometimes the most expensive food they can afford. But real life looks a little different than this idealistic thinking. Because on the other hand, dinner at my house looks nothing like a scene from those 1960s sitcoms where the children are perfectly behaved, everyone's hair is combed, the kids have freckles, the mom's wearing a dress, there's overflowing platters of food, and the food is on top of freshly pressed linen. Everybody's smiling. No. That's not what dinner looks like at my house. Because usually my husband, after he comes home from work, kicks off his shoes, saunters straight to the cupboard. He pulls out something unhealthy. He consumes it by the handful. I don't blame him. He's hungry. But by the time dinner's finally on the table, he's not that hungry anymore for the healthy stuff I just cooked. Or perhaps it's my four-year-old who declares that she hates whatever food I prepared and stubbornly eats just half or even a quarter of what I put on her plate. Or my one-year-old, after I diligently chop and boil and puree her carrots for dinner, she throws them on the floor for the dog. I could go on and on about how the dinner time of my reality looks nothing like the dinner time in my dreams. And maybe it's the same for you too. So while I'm foolishly idealistic regarding the importance of fresh and local organic food, I'm hit with reality that's compounded by facts. In a given year, the average American family wastes nearly a dumpster's worth of food. A dumpster's worth. Now, when you put a monetary value to that dumpster's worth of food waste, it amounts to nearly $2,200. If that fact alone doesn't make you lose your appetite, I don't know what will. These days, when it comes to purchasing food and preparing food, I have shifted my thinking. And I think that after today's episode, I may convince you as well. Because now I believe that spending more at the supermarket on the non-GMO or the free-range or the organic stuff to fill our reusable bags is foolish. The answer is not in spending more money at the grocery store. The answer is spending smarter. Small changes at the supermarket and at home can make a big dent in both the amount of money spent as well as the amount of food we throw away. On today's episode, I am giving you 4 tips to shop smarter at the supermarket, and then I'm following those up with 4 more tips to reduce your food waste once you get home. Now, you probably won't be able to implement all these strategies tomorrow, and that's okay. Some of them really do take time. I still struggle with a few of the items on our list today, but keep them on your radar and know that I will send you today's show notes so that you can refer back to them as you continue on your sustainable minimalist journey. Now, if you go to today's show notes at mamaminimalist.com/014, there'll be a handy dandy link for you to sign up to get the show notes for this and every episode straight to your inbox. mamaminimalist.com/014. Let's get right into the strategies you can implement at the supermarket to save money and save resources. The first strategy is to buy local produce. So, local produce spends less time traveling on a truck and more time in your kitchen. Produce grown in Central or South America that travels to your home has a hefty carbon footprint. And while buying local produce may mean that you don't get strawberries in January, for instance, it does mean that the strawberries you get when they're in season, for me, that's July, will taste so much better. Now, I know my family is lucky. We have an organic farm within miles of our home, and we've invested in the farm by signing up for their Community Supported Agriculture Program, or CSA. I know that not all my listeners have an organic farm in their backyard, but if you do, definitely take advantage of it. Now, the produce we receive from my local farm is often picked the morning we pick it up, and that means that it all lasts longer in our fridge than anything coming from California or Central or South America. Buying local means that the window of time you have with which to consume it is longer. Strategy number 2 is to buy loose and buy in bulk. I encourage you to seek out a supermarket with bulk bins because when it comes to reducing the amount of trash your house produces, bulk bins are the answer. There's minimal packaging and you buy only the amount of food that you need. Sustainable minimalists do not buy individually wrapped food items. We're not buying those cheese sticks that are wrapped individually in plastic. We're buying a block of cheese and cutting it up into individual portions at home. Same with yogurt. We buy the biggest container of yogurt we could find, and then we separate it into individual sized portions at home for lunch boxes or for snacks. Buying loose and buying in bulk also cuts down on food waste because think of spices, for example. The shelf life of ground spices is only 6 months. If you are buying your spices loose, you're purchasing only what you need and nothing goes to waste. I don't know how much paprika your family uses. However, I cannot go through one of those little jars in 6 months. It pays, literally, to buy only what you need for spices and everything else. Strategy number three at the supermarket is to think like a chef. Now, this is one of the tips that I still struggle with. I'm not a talented chef by nature. I don't have that natural ability, but I am working to get more creative, and that's where thinking like a chef comes in. See what foods you can upcycle to reduce food waste. So perhaps you purchase a really nice fish for dinner on Tuesday night. Can you save the scraps and create a seafood stew for Wednesday night's dinner? Or perhaps you reserve the carrot fronds, the potato peels, the onion skins, and other scraps and create a slow simmered vegetable broth. By getting into the habit of thinking like a chef and refusing to waste anything, you can transform even the most lowly ingredients into something usable. Now, the final strategy I have for you when it comes to going to the supermarket is to simply buy less food. Now, I know this may sound like a silly strategy, but stay with me because it's harder than it sounds. The supermarket at its base is essentially like any other store, which taunts and coaxes you to get excited by the sales so that you put more in your cart. There's the coupons. There's the samples on the toothpicks. There's the shiny signs and health claims making you think that you need this item to be healthier, thinner, have better skin, etc., etc. So when I say buy less, what I really mean is arm yourself with a list. And on that list, ideally, you have meal planned for your family for the entire week so you know exactly what you need to feed your family. And when you get to the supermarket, you buy nothing more. Now, this strategy is so difficult because meal planning requires a real and legitimate investment of time. I struggle with this because who has time to sit down with their recipe books and make a detailed shopping list? It's much easier to show up at the supermarket and wing it, right? But I will say from my own experience that the times that I do sit down and make that detailed list, I not only spend less at the supermarket, but my week in terms of cooking is much smoother because I've already done the hard work on the front end. Making a list and sticking to it also, and of course, reduces food waste because you're only purchasing exactly what you need and nothing that you simply want. So those are the tips for shopping smarter at the supermarket. Now we're going to talk about strategies you can implement at home and in your kitchen to prevent the food that you just purchased from being wasted. The first strategy is to rotate food in your refrigerator. Now, if you've ever lost items to the deepest corners of the fridge, make sure that this doesn't happen anymore by placing older items in front of newer ones in the fridge. I love the idea of creating an eat me box for your refrigerator. I made one for my family and it's worked really well. Basically, I repurposed a child's shoebox. I covered it in construction paper and I wrote eat me box on it. And I put it on the top shelf right in front in the refrigerator. So if there's an item that's nearing expiration, milk, perhaps yogurt, sometimes even eggs, my husband and I put it into the eat me box. And when we open the fridge looking for an item, the items in the Eat Me box are front and center, grabbing our attention. I can say with 100% honesty that the Eat Me box has been a free but highly successful implementation in our kitchen when it comes to wasting less food. Now, strategy two is all about wasting less food that you store in the pantry. Use airtight containers. So my four-year-old loves those peanut butter puff cereals until she gets sick of it and suddenly hates it. If I were to leave that cereal in the box, it would go stale way before my daughter had the chance to consume it all. So use containers with an airtight seal to ensure freshness. I love glass containers, especially for smaller items. You can repurpose jars from other food items you've purchased at the supermarket and make them into airtight containers. We got into the nitty-gritty about containers and why you should choose glass over plastic and everything else related to sustainable minimalism in the kitchen in episode 3 of this podcast. So if you're interested in going deeper into strategies related to sustainability in the kitchen, definitely go check out episode 3. But for the purposes of this episode, just know that airtight containers will keep food fresh much longer than the boxes and the flimsy bags that you get at the supermarket ever will. Next up is the freeze half rule. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I will say that I have gotten so good at the freeze half rule. And perhaps I've really gotten so good at it because I've realized that it saves me so much time and energy and unneeded stress. The freeze half rule is this. Whenever you make a meal for your family, split it in two. One portion goes onto the dinner table, and the other portion goes straight into the deep freezer. No one in my household enjoys leftovers, and perhaps nobody in your household likes leftovers either. So freezing half ensures that you and I have a meal ready to be thawed, stuck in the oven, and ready to go for a weeknight in the future. I freeze almost everything. And if you're not sure whether a meal that you're making can be frozen, try it out because you may be surprised. My family goes crazy for a 9x13 of mac and cheese. By splitting it into two 8x8s, I make two meals. And who knew you could freeze mac and cheese? I didn't, but I tried it and I can. Our final strategy today is what to do with the inevitable items that you can't repurpose and you can't use. The strategy is, of course, to compost, compost, compost. Food in the trash can doesn't decompose properly in the landfill because landfills are devoid of light and air. So our food scraps in the landfill produce methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas that contributes to global warming. So compost your compostable food scraps. I got all into the nitty-gritty of composting in episode 3 of this podcast. Check it out if you're interested. But composting is not hard. It's not dirty. Composting is genius. So check out episode 3 for all your composting needs. And perhaps 2018 is the year you start composting. So there you have it. I gave you 4 strategies for shopping like a sustainable minimalist at the supermarket. And I also gave you 4 strategies for ending food waste in your kitchen. Know that you can access all of the tips we talked about today in the show notes at mamaminimalist.com/014, mamaminimalist.com/014. And while you're there, sign up to get the show notes sent to your inbox weekly. It will save you the hassle of having to do it later. If you have been enjoying and receiving benefit from this podcast, kindly leave me a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts so that I can reach as many potential sustainable minimalists as possible. Leaving me a review or telling a friend or telling many friends and telling many strangers is just good karma. So thank you so much. I will see you next week. Take care.